Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the History of Byzantium, episode 285, Totalis Rankium. You asked for it, and here it is. I sat down with Rob and Jamie from Totalis Rankium to talk about Roman emperors. For those of you who don't know, their podcast is a light-hearted ranking of all Roman emperors from Augustus to Constantine the 11th, and they've just finished and declared an overall winner. I really enjoy listening to their show because they put back in all the laughs that I took out, particularly in those middle centuries. Many emperors' deaths were dramatized in the histories, quite unconvincingly sometimes, and so I had to summarize all the fun out of those stories. In the interview, we reference a bunch of these figures, Leo V trying to fight off his assassins, Basil I being dragged for miles by a deer, the son of Nicephorus I becoming emperor only to die slowly over the next few weeks after the Battle of Pliska. Ah, the memories. I hope this gives you a flavour of their style, and you'll check them out. You can find Totalis Rankium wherever good podcasts are served, or you can visit totalisrankium.wordpress.com for more information. The next time you hear from me, it will be back to the narrative. Rob and Jamie, welcome to the History of Byzantium.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Oh, that seems weird hearing you say that in real life.
See, but then I have the same feeling with you. When I interview academics, I don't know what their voice sounds like. But with you two, I'm like, ooh, they're going to make jokes any second. I know it.
No.
Going to be very serious.
Yes.
Well, hey, thank you so much to both of you for coming on the podcast. I can imagine you might think I'm the least likely person to enjoy your podcast since I'm one of the few people who will have covered the same ground, but actually I really enjoy it because I have to cut out certain fanciful stories that don't fit with what we think may have happened. And so then I started listening to your episodes and I was like, I don't remember this. And then I was like, oh God, yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. I've forgotten all of this. But anyway, so count me as a fan.
Well, that is one of the joys of I find about looking into history. It's not just finding out what really happened. That is obviously important. But also just hearing what people said happened is just fascinating.
Yeah.
And you come across all these crazy stories. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the more shameless and ludicrous they are, the better, I would say. And that's the other thing, of course. I get to laugh at Roman history listening to your show. My show is distinctly lacking in humor most of the time. So it's always a treat for me. So anyway, welcome. And there will be a few, I'm sure, listeners who don't know Totalis Rankium. So can you tell us, how did you guys meet? How did you come up with the idea for the podcast? And how long have you been doing it?
I think we could answer most of these questions with the pub.
Genuinely. Could. We met at uni. We didn't meet in the pub, Jamie. We met went to the pub very quickly. Yeah. We were both training to be primary school teachers, which we both still are. So that's what we were doing at uni, and we became friends. That was years and years ago. Shocking amount of time ago.
Yeah. Coming up to 20 years, Rob.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. And our friendship was in no way based on history or anything.
Nope.
No. But at some point in my life, I moved from Coventry, where I live, to Birmingham. But I stayed in my job in Coventry, so my commute came really, really long. So I suddenly started looking for things to listen to, and I came across the history of Rome, as many people did. So I started listening to that. And I don't know if you'll get a similar feeling from this, Robin, but I was listening to History of Rome thinking, maybe I could do something like this one day.
I had the opposite feeling. I messaged Mike Duncan going, don't quit, keep going. I'll pay you to keep going.
Oh, he'd already finished when I started listening. I think you just started when I started listening. So I knew he was definitely going to end. And also I did not have the confidence to go in and actually carry on seriously. But I was also listening alongside History of Rome. I was listening to a lot of Rex Factor. And it was a light bulb moment where I thought, why don't I merge these two podcasts I like and try and do that myself? So that's when I roped in Jamie.
So just tell the listeners what Rex Factor's format was.
Jamie, you go for it.
I was going to say, just like take our format and change it slightly. That's we just copied and pasted essentially.
Ali and Graham go through every king and queen of England or Britain, United Kingdom, and they rank them. So they go through a biography of their lives, and then they have some fairly flippant rounds, and they just come up with a score system that's not meant to be too serious. Two people discussing history and going through the monarchs one by one. So I thought, well, why not do that with Roman emperors? Because there's not many Roman emperors, surely. How many can there be? We decided we were going to go for it, and that was back in 2016.
Yeah.
That was a while ago now, so it took us a while to get through them all, but in the end, we ranked 180, is that right, 180? I'm saying off the top of my head. That sounds about right. 180 emperors. We go through one episode at a time, go through their lives, go through their biography. And then we rank them on how fighty they were, how crazy they were, how successful, how long they lasted, and what their bus looked like, which is a very important round.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Go through those a little bit more detail. What are these judgments you're making on them, and how serious is each one taken?
We start with Fightius Maximus. Which I think is a very important round when you're ranking Roman emperors, because it's all about the big battles and the fights and the political intrigue. And it's not just fighting on the battlefield, it's political fighting as well. We start with that. Then we go on to your favourite round, Jeremy.
Opprobrium Crazium, yes.
Yes.
All the mad stuff they did.
Yes, so which in our Roman series...
You're favouring the madness.
Yes. In our Roman series, we give positive points to how crazy they are, because the ranking system is not how good they were as emperors. It's how interesting they are as emperors. So Commodus scores very high in this regard. Justin II also scored very high in this regard. It's in our ranking system, it's certainly not a bad thing to be completely off your rocker, because it gives you something to talk about. So yeah, that's Probium Crazium. And then we have Successus Ultimus, and that's more your traditional, how good were they, would you want to actually be in the Roman Empire while this person was in charge. So if you want a traditional ranking, you could just look at that round and get those scores. But that's not what we're here for.
No.
No. And then tempo completo is just straightforward, how long they lasted. And imago facies is very subjective. It started off really well and really easy because they all had busts back in the the ancient days. So we could have a look at a nice bust and go, yeah, we like that man's beard.
Yeah.
Whereas
and there is a weird correlation there between if they had a beard, they scored very highly.
We did favour beards. This is true. But then, I mean, people's ability to make busts dropped off, and then people's ability to make coins dropped off. There were so many awful coins, especially when you hit the start of the Byzantine period. They just can't make coins at all. It's just ant people all over the place.
Carrying crosses.
On a vaguely serious note, I genuinely think that hurts interest in Byzantine history, because we don't know what so many of the emperors looked like. It's like just another blank face staring at you from the coin.
And they all have the same name as well.
Yeah. that doesn't help.
It really doesn't help. To this day, even though I've been looking at the Eastern Roman Empire much more recently than the Western, or when it was combined, I can still order Roman emperors better in my head from the early days than the Byzantine days, because they've all got the same name.
It's true. It's
very frustrating.
Oh, absolutely. There's a period where they alternate. They keep naming themselves after their grandfather, and around it goes.
Yeah.
So once you've ranked them, though, it doesn't end there, does it? You then turn to the listeners for their input.
Yes. Well, at the end, we have the rounds. So we've done this for season one, which is up to the fall of the West. And we've done it for season two, which is the fall of Constantinople. So once we reach the end of our two seasons, anyone who has a certain je ne César, as we call it, goes through to the rounds, and that's not based on score at all. That is just we get to the end of the episode and go, did we like this guy for any reason whatsoever? Are they worthy of our time? And if we say yes, they go through to the knockout stages. Yeah, the knockout stages, it's like the World Cup. You've got like knockout stages, we've got rounds, and they knock each other out. And we ask our listeners what they think, but ultimately it is mine and Jamie's decision. We listen to our listeners, and then if we disagree, we just disagree.
We won't spoil anything. No results revealed in this interview, but that's one of the more fun things, because this is not your traditional, well, I guess it's just Augustus, I guess it's just Trajan, I guess it's just Constantine podcast. There are some real upsets that happen.
There definitely are. We won't ruin anything, like you say, but let's just say the names that you've just said are not the ones that stood out to us.
Which is very fun to me. Now, I should point out at this point that there is an imbalance in the workload, perhaps, on this podcast.
I don't think so.
That Rob, you've been saddled with doing all the research. Is that fair, Jamie?
Well, fair's such a subjective term. I think this is Rob's baby, essentially. It's something that he's always been interested in and knew, you know, a good amount previously. And I think it's just something that he wanted to do, and I've let him do it, and I'm happy to sit back and go,
And how much did you know going into each series?
Well, I thought Julius Caesar was an emperor, so that's all you need to know. So I didn't really know anything. And Roman history never really interests me either. I think that's one of the first things I said in the first episode. I was more into kind of the Greeks and Tudors and stuff and more modern history. But it's been good.
Looking back, it wasn't the strongest way to start our podcast, with one of the hosts saying, you know what, I don't particularly like Roman history.
Possibly not, no.
Well, how do you feel now at the end of it?
It's all right. No, I really have enjoyed it. I think I think some people just learn better with the silly quips and the little side stories and things. And I think that's my approach to things. Like there's a humour hook you can have onto it and things that you remember. And ranking them the way we did was good to kind of get a continuity. And I've really enjoyed it. And I've learned some things.
And did it feel different to you at some point being in Byzantine history? I don't know how that came across to you.
It felt more nebulous at certain points, I think. Because most people, you always hear about Western Roman Emperor, don't you? Empire, sorry. So you remember those, the big names that even I'd heard of. And then suddenly we're talking about Michael and Basil. It's like, who? And so it felt more familiar in the West. It was a bit more, nebulous and a bit scary.
Well, let's talk about things that did stand out then. To both of you, I imagine you'll have a different perspective because you're hearing some of this for the first time, and Rob's presumably heard this long, long ago. What funny things stood out?
Fire cows.
Tell us more.
Oh, wow, fire cows. Go on, then, Jeremy.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't remember the emperor, but they were battling against the odds. Against somebody, and they just basically found a field of cows, set fire to them as a distraction, and sent them towards the enemy or something. And I just find that horrific and at the same time hilarious.
Rob, can you remember that?
It's not an emperor, Jamie. You are remembering. Oh! You are remembering one of our Patreon only episodes where we cover the Punic Wars.
Damn it!
It's still funny, but
it's hilarious.
It's an amazing, amazing story. I honestly can't remember. Was it Scipio or was it Fabian who set fire to the cows?
Is this
sounds more like Scipio?
Is this Hannibal in Italy?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm saying Scipio. I mean Hannibal, obviously. Yes. I mean Hannibal. Yes, Hannibal's just come over the Alps. Yeah. Scipio's not around yet. We hadn't done Scipio's episode. They're trying to push back Hannibal.
I think this is coming back to me, and that is a good one. what about other funny things? Were there any funny deaths or
so
that stood out?
Are you talking across the whole thing, or are you talking season two?
If it's funny
into
enough.
Your wheelhouse.
No, let's do the whole.
Let's talk about season two, shall we? It's fresher in my mind. I think one of the funniest things that Jamie and I found, maybe it's our dark sense of humor. Some of the deaths were just funny.
Mm.
At least they were when we approached them. Maybe maybe when you covered this, it wasn't funny. But
violent music, somber tone.
Yeah. Interviewing the relatives.
Dragged 13 miles by a deer.
16, Jamie. 16,
oh, 16.
Miles.
Excellent.
Yeah, the death of Basil is just hilarious.
Yes.
You got all the build-up conspiracy, his son, or is it not his son? And you've got all of this coming up. And then oh, no, he's just being dragged around by a stag all afternoon as his guard are running up and down, trying to desperately detach him. And then he doesn't even die from it. He's being dragged around by this deer for hours. And then the first thing he asks is, can someone measure how long I've been dragged?
See, they should have done that with Robert Baratheon. That would have given Game of Thrones a really light touch.
They really should. I mean, so much in that has obviously been lifted from history. So being dragged for 16 miles would have been hilarious. So that was one of the deaths that stood out. When we do the rounds at the end, we do just as a tie break, kind of figure out which one we prefer. We go into how they died. And that was one that I think that was our favorite ever death. Leo Fives came very close.
Oh, the church sword fight at Christmas. Yes,
Christmas Day. They're wearing their hoods, which we assumed were like Father Christmas style hoods. All the assassins come into the chapel, and he's literally fighting his assassins with a big cross. And I mean, less funny, more just wow, just such a dramatic moment. We very much enjoyed that death.
That's where I want to go.
Yeah. And that's is it Michael who's then still in his chain, still in his leg manacles, and is put on the throne? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So talking, so you asked Jamie earlier the difference between Byzantine and your classical Roman. This is what I found. There were more interesting stories in later Roman history where you got the details of someone still being in their manacles, not being involved. You get more detail the further on you get, which I was really surprised by. I just kind of assumed when I first started this, it's like you hit the crisis and then everything dries up forever. It's like, no, that wasn't the case at all. There's some periods where I was drowning in sources. And the fact we get that last line in that death, you get one of the assassins saying, now is not the time for praying or begging or something. Now is the time for dying. And it's, it's a cool ass line and everything. Oh,
that is good.
Yeah. So we enjoyed that. Other things that stand out, the whole rule of Stauracius really always stuck out to me, because it was so pathetic. His father had just been killed on the battlefield and he had half his head chopped off. And then he went on to be emperor. And usually, and this is what I really enjoyed about the format that we did, which we took wholesale from Rats Factor. But what works really well with it is when you come across a Stauracius, because usually Stauracius is a footnote, because who cares? He was technically emperor for a couple of months, but he didn't do anything but bleed from his neck the entire time. Whereas the way we're doing it, it's like, no, everyone gets their day. If you're an emperor, you get your episode. So we had a whole episode on Stauracius. And yes, he was emperor from the 28th of July to the 2nd of October of 811. So 2 months and 4 days. And he spent the entire time in bed bleeding from his neck.
This is on the way back from Bulgaria. That's right. Well, the Battle of Pliska and Nicephorus, Nikephoros has been killed by Crom. And
Crom. Yeah. Crom. That was a good period of time. I did enjoy all of that. Just the Nicephoron dynasty was just pathetic, but we loved them for it because.
I haven't listened to that episode. I'm going to have to listen to your episode on that. I'm just imagining you going, highlights? Well, he took a turn for the better for about 20 minutes, and then it was like, no, he's definitely going to die.
Oh, I can't remember how long the episode is. It's definitely one of our shorter episodes, but I just remembered how pathetic he was. But then equally, we got someone very similar to Stauracius who will not stay in the memory of most people, because why would he? Theodosius III. Theodosius III is one of the emperors in the 20-year anarchy, the last of the emperors in 20-year anarchy, and he didn't want to be emperor.
Yes.
He was a tax collector who happened to have the name of a past Roman emperor, and the troops going through who were planning to revolt went, Hirdu as a figurehead, and they grabbed him. And me and Jamie embellish a bit sometimes. I mean, we're always clear of like what is the real history and what's not, but we also go on some tangents of what it might have been like. And I assumed that we'd made up the bit where he runs into the mountains to try and hide and become a hermit rather than be emperor, because it's the kind of thing we'd usually make up. But when I went back to re-listen to put the rounds together, it's like, oh no, we didn't make that up. That's in the sources. He did run into the mountains to try and hide from the troops who were forcing him to be the emperor. And then he was just dragged to Constantinople, forced to be emperor for for like a year or so, and then managed to retire. And he lived. He lived a happy life. I'm so pleased for him.
I always got this really nice image of in the woods where it's being chased by the soldiers, a bit like Scooby-Doo, where he's going one way, they go the other way, like carrying a crown.
Yes.
Or a cloak.
Yeah.
I love it. I do like the idea of Leo III sending a message. I think you should abdicate. Yes. No
yes,
problem.
Yes,
I'm
please.
Already,
yes.
I'm already out. But, oh, dear.
Yeah, we had a whole thing of Leo being known as Leo. It's like, oh, you mean Leo? Oh, right, okay. In that case, I'm abdicating.
Yeah,
I'm not going up against him. So, yeah, I think to sum up bits that stood out and things that were funny, it was always unexpected bits, like little details and stories or little-known emperors that I'd never heard of before. They're the ones that stood out.
Nice. So on a slightly more serious note, did anybody impress you, let's say Jamie, in the Byzantine period in a serious way where you're like, huh, that guy did well. I thought this whole thing was about to wrap up.
Yeah, just the
Bearing in
no-nos.
mind,
Sorry.
you can't spoil who wins the series, Jeremy.
Yes,
Just
that
to
yes.
remind you.
Okay. It's gonna sound really bad.
You can't remember who won,
I
can
can't
you?
remember who won, no. But the
That's
one
fine. In which case, you go ahead. You carry on talking.
that but just in no-nos, got his nose cleaved from his face. The
Yes.
fact, because the episode, I think the way Rob delivered it was wonderful. Just like, he came in, then he got caught and arrested, put in prison. Oh, that's the end of it then. Then no, he escaped and then went on a pirate ship, not pirate ship, but the ship back to Constantinople, fought his way back, and yeah, that impressed me a lot.
That must have been a roller coaster for you, because you must have been thinking, oh,
It's
great, I'm
wild.
going to wrap
It's
this one up
wild.
early
Yeah,
and
that's what I was
keep
thinking. Oh,
going from
brilliant. So I can go make his cup of tea. Oh no, he's carrying on.
there.
Another 4 hours.
I usually warn Jamie when it's going to be a long one, so he can
Yeah.
like settle in.
Prepare the wife.
I did not warn him that time,
No.
because I really wanted it to be a surprise that he manages to come back.
It was good though.
That was just such an amazing story.
Yeah.
Of losing the throne and then strangling assassins
Yes.
with a
His
rope at
nose.
dinner and like shouting at the gods in the sea and crawling
Yeah.
through the sewers. And you got
And
the whole Macbeth ending. Yeah, so that was
it.
good. And I hadn't he was a surprise for me as well. Because when I got to him doing my research, I did not know that story. It's, I think everything post Justinian I was new to me when I got to it,
Right.
because that's about as far as my knowledge went. We never planned to go into season two. We were always
Right.
going to end with Fall of the West, which is where my knowledge mostly ends. So I was going into some of these completely blind. And yeah, that one really surprised me. I remember reading that week just going, oh, he did what? That's amazing.
And did any listener feedback surprise you at any point, or was it all relatively what you'd expect?
As in listener feedback to our judgments.
Yeah, or just like, oh, they seem to really like this guy. I don't know.
Going back to season one, we both really were very disappointed in Julian. In fact, he just became known as Bloody Julian in the podcast. He in our mind, as we were doing the episode, I think I was more positive when I was doing the research, writing up the notes. But when I was saying it to Jamie, and he was responding in a very reasonable way, it's like, well, that's not very good, is it? It's like, oh yeah, because Julian's usually held up to be a really good emperor. But no, he went unprepared into the east and just messed everything up, and then died, leaving the empire in bits.
Yeah, bloody
So.
Julian.
Bloody Julian. So I think we got a bit of pushback from that, didn't we? Because
Yeah.
people like Julian, whereas we were more impressed with Constantius too, who was usually more the villain in that story. But it's like,
What, you were more impressed with him in a kind of, we've all been at family birthday parties where we've thought, I could put an end to this right now.
exactly. I mean, okay, maybe him killing his entire family wasn't ideal, but did you see the bit where at the end there he was like, you know what, more civil war would be bad. I'll just give the empire to my opponent. That
He's
was
always surprising you. Oh dear. Did anything else stick out from the whole experience? It doesn't have to be a bit of history. Does it make you want to do more history, Jamie, or never touch a Roman history book in your life?
I think it gave me more interest. I remember when we first started, I bought the book, the 12 Emperors, the year of the 12 Emperor. You know what I'm trying to say. So I've obviously read it and taken it in.
Are you talking
And
about Suetonius?
possibly,
Yeah.
yeah. And I read part of that, then got a bit bored with it. But Yeah, no, it's certainly enlivened my interest of Roman history to the point where even now I can now go to people and go, oh, let me tell you a great story. Whilst I'm on the bus, then I get, you know, dragged off by somebody and banned. Yeah.
But I think that's the thing. You can get obsessive with it, or you can just enjoy it at a distance. There's lots of things in life that are quite enjoyable to just not get obsessed with and just pass you by.
Like looking at flowers. Yeah, it's like at a distance. They're beautiful. I don't want to plant them.
No, garden. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is why Jamie's role is so important in the podcast.
That word important is doing a lot of work.
Well, I will get bogged down in the details and I would obsess over this stuff. But I know that every week I've got to deliver it to you, someone who doesn't know any of this. So I can't get bogged down in the details because I need to tell you the broader story. So it keeps the narrative flowing. It's a system that has worked for us very well. The fact that Jamie is there being the listener, asking the questions that I've not thought of. It works really well.
Yeah, no, that is a vital role. I have to do that for myself, and it's much less entertaining.
It must be so hard being on your own doing that and not having someone to bounce off.
Yeah, I sometimes struggle. I also don't have the talented voice artist you have doing your round voiceovers and things.
Well, sound guy was a hit. We got him in day one.
Expensive though.
Like, he is expensive.
Drain your fund.
But we've kept him on because it's what the listeners want. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So you are also covering All American Presidents.
Yes, we are. So at the end of season one of The Romans, the plan was to stop doing Romans and start doing Presidents. Trump had just won, and I wanted to know why. So in my head, it's like, how can I find out whether this is unusual? Well, how about I go back and research every single president from the beginning, and then I'll know how screwed we actually are. Was my thoughts. Several years later, we are on Obama now, so we're getting close to the end. But yes, so it's same format. We go through their lives. We mark them down for how crazy they are or how scandalicious they are, because it's too recent to be reveling in the joys of scandal. You just don't want to. American history has a lot of connotations, so we decided to take points off for that one. But apart from that, it's very similar in format. And yeah, going through that.
And Americans love it when British people judge their history and their decisions. So,
we have had, I think in the years we've been doing it, I can count on one hand how many people who have said something along the lines of "How dare you Brits tell us about our history?" It's almost all feedback has been, "What? How interesting it is to have an outside perspective on American history."
Yeah.
I think we say in our first episode, it's like neither me or Jamie were born in Rome, but we decided to do a Roman Emperor podcast. So, yeah, we're not claiming that we're experts at this.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going through the history and telling stories. So, yeah.
And are you willing to talk about the future?
Yeah. So, hopefully we'll finish the presidents within the next 3 months.
Yeah,
because we do multiple episodes for the presidents because there's so much information on it. Whereas our emperors are one episode per emperor. Obama's going to get 3 episodes, and who knows how many Trump's going to get. Hopefully only 3. The plan is only 3. We will see. So anyway, we're going to finish that off. We're going to do the rounds. Then we need to do the ultimate final of the Roman series.
Yeah.
Because obviously we have a winner of season one and a winner of season two at the moment, and we need to figure out who the ultimate winner is. So we've got one more episode in the bag for Romans, but we're not going to do that until we finish Presidents. And then, bit of a mini break. Going to spend a few months doing Pirates.
Yeah, exciting.
Just it's a palate cleanser. It's been a lot of information during the later presidents, and I just like a bit of an easier time doing research just to reset myself.
Yes.
Because then we will go into our main series, which is season 3 of Roman Emperors.
Controversial.
Controversial, because where do you go with season 3 of Roman Emperors? It is debatable. Where would you go?
Please tell us, because we have no idea.
Yeah, no, I'd probably have to be. Yeah, I know. I'm tempted to say, well, you know, Greek prime ministers or something to be very on brand. But no, I wouldn't do a season 3. But not literally to stop you. I just mean I wouldn't call it Roman Emperors to be loyal.
We're not. Right. I came to that same conclusion. Season 1 and 2 are their own podcast, Roman Emperors. It will be a new podcast, but it's Holy Roman Emperors. For so long we talked about doing a season 3, and in the end it's like, it's not the same. We can't use the same rounds. It's a different beast. You can, by the end of so Constantine 11, you're so far removed from Augustus.
Yes.
It's a completely different thing, but it's still, you can still see the route way. You can see how you got there. If you go on to Ottomans or Tsars or Holy Roman Emperors, all of these were sensible suggestions that we could have done, but all of them are different. So it's going to be a brand new podcast, but it's Holy Roman Emperors, mainly because our listeners really wanted us to do Holy Roman Emperors. And no one's gone for that period of history in this style yet.
Yeah.
In the wild west of podcasting. But I'll be honest, it's slightly terrifying.
Yeah.
because it's not a period of history that I know anything about. Just diving in, I'm going to have to do a lot of reading.
I imagine so. But I imagine you also look across the virtual table at Jamie and think, sauerkraut, lederhosen, there's enough material here. Like, this is going to be funny no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, lederhosen.
Jamie's going to love it. I mean, yes. One thing I'm really looking forward to is the fact that we will be going back in time, and we will be covering ground we've already covered in season 2 of the Roman series.
Yeah.
But from a slightly different perspective. And we'll come across the groups of people that we love, like the Avars.
Yay.
Yeah, the Avars are coming back. We'll have a closer tie to the popes, so we'll have a really good tie with Pontifex, who are going through all of the popes and ranking all of them. So that will be good, having ties with other podcasts, which I'm looking forward to. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that will be good. I think that will help. The closer you get to the end of the Byzantine period, the more stuff will seem familiar.
Yeah, you know,
and all that crusading business.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on.
Thank you very much. I mean, it's interesting talking to someone else who has done something similar to me.
Yeah.
Because there's not many of us in the world who have just gone through.
Mm.
There are lots of people who have gone in depth far more than I ever have or ever will into Roman history, and know far more than I have, but to have just skitted across the surface of Roman history in the manner that history podcasters do. It's interesting.
Oh yeah, we were messaging, weren't we? And you said, give me an idea of the questions, because, you know, some of this was like 8 years ago, and I said, I know exactly what I know, literally.
Yeah, how you've... I fully understand why listeners do it, because they've just heard an episode and they go, I'll message Rob and I'll tell him something. And I look at the message and go, I can't remember that at all.
Yeah,
this was 5 years ago, and I spent 1 week reading around this emperor and putting a podcast together. It's like, I knew enough to deliver that episode, but that was 5 years ago. So it's now gone. Yeah, it's...
I think it would be Constantine V to you guys. I think he had a load of brothers, and then I think this is right. Then during the next reign, they kept being mutilated, like, repeatedly, because they were doing usurpation attempts. And someone said this to me, like, in person. They're like, oh, I love that bit when this happened. And I was just like, I don't remember that at all. I was like, looked so blank. And then they had to remind me, like, four different things. I was like, oh, right, yeah, okay. And it's coming back to me slowly. Anyway.
I'm trying to remember Constantine V now.
This is, yeah, I think that's right. Something like that. So he was the big iconoclast. And
Yes, of course. No, I've got it now. He's son of Leo, isn't he?
Yeah. And so I think that's right. I think he, anyway, his brothers were involved in a coup. So it's like, right, slit the nose.
Oh,
they've been at it again. Slit the tongues.
Oh, yes. I remember covering that and covering it by just saying to Jamie something along the lines of, yeah, there's going to be lots of brothers trying to coup in this episode, but it happens so often and it never goes anywhere, so we're going to gloss over it.
Oh, dear. Good old Byzantine history, full of mutilations.
I think it gets a bad rap because I think people think it's overly complicated. But I don't think it is. Now I've done it. Now I've covered it.
Yeah,
I think it's no more complicated than early Roman history. It's got lots of amazing parts in it. One thing I will say, I'm now looking forward to the fact that I can now listen to your podcast.
Yeah,
because I have a very distinct memory of finishing History of Rome, thinking, oh, maybe I want to start a podcast. And I remember being asked by my then partner if I could go to the shop and grab a bottle of wine. So yeah, I'll go and do that. And I put the headphones in and it's like, right, I'm gonna try History of Byzantium. And your voice popped into my ears. And I think it was something you recorded about a year or so after you'd started, saying, bear with the first few episodes, I was new to this. And it was at that point I was like, I'm going to enjoy this. so much so that when we finished, I put something on the start of ours that says, bear with the first few episodes. And I did that because I enjoyed your one.
Yeah.
But then once I realized we were going to do Byzantine history in our podcast, I had to stop listening to your podcast because I knew I would end up just stealing your content.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, if Robin said it, that's what's going to go in because he knows his stuff. So I'll have to cover that. So, but no, I'll get to listen to it all now. I think I got to Justinian is where roughly I stopped. So I've got lots to go.
Well, I'm waiting for the iTunes review. One star, very dry. Where are all the funny stories? Like, there's no way Basil died quicker than this. Like, yeah, you know. Yeah, I think that'll be an interesting experience for you.
No, it's good. I, like you said, it's interesting how you there's some things that we cover that you couldn't cover in yours. But, I mean, the same is more so the other way around, where you were... we had to fit Justinian and Basil II in one episode.
Yes.
It's the opposite of the Stauracius.
Yes.
A whole episode to flesh out Stauracius. It's like getting Justinian into one episode, where you had a whole episode on one battle, if I remember correctly.
Oh yeah,
which was done so well. It's like this is the way to describe a battle when you're doing it in audio format, which is something I tried to emulate when we were doing Scipio's battles. Try and get that clear sense. And I remember saying to Jamie in that episode, it's like, there was a battle. It was important. Go and listen to History of Byzantium if you want to know the details, because we're not covering this. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on the show, and I really appreciate what you've done, and I recommend all the listeners go check it out. And finally, all the laughs that I took out are back in the Byzantine story. and congratulations to you both, because it's an epic achievement.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And if you're listening to this and you've not heard before, make your prediction now on who you think wins the season. Be interesting if people get that right.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.